My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
You're listening to Talk Radio Europe.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Ah, good morning. You're listening to TRE Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain. Thank you, Anna, for daybreak and letting me know you had finished with you until 12 o'clock today. If you want to get involved with today's Viewpoint, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Nothing like a well-organized show, and this is nothing like a well-organized show with you for the next 2 hours. All things being equal, I think we may have Rex Leyland live from London this morning, and also Jamie Hamilton Milan is going to be joining us, as well as Tim Stafford. But let's have a look this morning at the front papers. If you've got something crossing your radar this morning, after last night's extraordinary vote in the United Nations with the US backing Russia in its vote in its resolution for the UN. I'll be asking quite a few questions today, including, and we've got a poll of polls running as well on the Facebook page, which is Talk Radio Europe Official. But first of all, let's have a look at the front pages of the papers. The main story is obviously what's happening in Ukraine, and it starts with images of Donald Trump and Emmanuel Macron hand-in-hand and smiling, with The Guardian saying the meeting at the White House is a pub in Parsons Green. The White House struck a cordial note, the Sloney Pony, if you remember that one. Anyway, Times says tensions rose when aid to Ukraine was discussed. According to The Eye, Trump's message was, stop blaming Vladimir Putin for the war. The Financial Times says the rhetoric has spurred action among European leaders who fear a disappearing US security blanket. The Telegraph says that France could address this by providing a nuclear shield for Europe. Paper says fighter jets carrying nuclear weapons could be deployed to Germany, which an official in Paris said would send a strong message to Putin. A German diplomat tells the paper the move would increase pressure on Sir Keir Starmer to prove he was serious about contributing to European security. Home Secretary Yvette Cooper vows to the government will take back town centres from antisocial behaviour, thugs and thieves. That's in the Daily Mirror. As she unveils a raft of new laws that will give and legislation what the paper calls Labour's crime blitz. Cooper says the legislation will give the police the powers they need to crack down on crimes that are blighting communities. According to the Telegraph, Mike Amesbury, the suspended Labour MP who punched a man in the street, will receive full pay while serving his 10-week prison sentence. The report says he will still continue to collect his salary of more than £91,000 because he's still technically a serving MP. Daily Express reports that Aylesbury is under pressure to quit his seat in order to allow a by-election to take place. The Guardian publishes an investigation which it says raises questions over the accountability of the House of Lords. An analysis of Peer's declarations show that one in ten has been hired to give political or policy advice, while others do paid work for companies that could conflict with their roles as legislators. Campaigners tell the paper that Peers could be perceived as exploiting their positions and connections for personal gain. But a House of Lords spokesperson says members are obliged to adhere to the highest standards of transparency and propriety. And Costa del Mars is the headline in the Daily Mail, which reports that scientists believe the red planet may have once been an ideal holiday destination. It says, scans have revealed Mars used to have miles of sandy beaches lapped by gentle waves. However, for anyone buying the print edition, and those front pages are hidden behind an ad from the Make It Fair campaign, a coordinated protest against tech firms using copyrighted material to generate, to train generative AI models without controls or fair payment. The campaign, which has won backing from almost all British daily newspapers, is calling for the government to better protect creative works from artificial intelligence. Inside the headline says, save our great British music. Apart from Ed Sheeran, obviously. The Sun says AI poses an existential threat. Well, the Daily Mail says government's planned changes to copyright law would inflict incalculable damage to the flourishing creative sector. Paper says there's a glimmer of hope after Downing Street said it recognised the strength of feeling about the plan. So those front pages again. Trump, Putin would accept Europe's troops in Ukraine after ceasefire. The Times, Trump invites Zelensky to secure peace in a week. The I, stop blaming Putin for war. America's message to UK ahead of crunch Starmer visit to White House. The FT, Britain to join EU leaders for talks on continent-wide defence funding push. Telegraph, France's nuclear shield for Europe. The Daily Mail leads with teen killer was on way to school massacre. This is Nicholas Prosper, who pleaded guilty on Monday to murdering his mother and two siblings at their Luton home, was also planning to carry out a mass shooting at a school. The 19-year-old was arrested before he could carry out any more killings, which police say they had no doubt he planned to do. Again, the Sun, that main story, killer, 19 plotted school massacre. Meanwhile, the Metro, no hiding place for predators. This is a crackdown. The government changing the law to ensure there's no hiding place for predators. Its front page is dedicated to a government announcement on changing the law to ensure sex offenders cannot change their names to avoid detection. The Mirror, Labour's crime blitz, taking back our towns. And also they've got this very sad news that the singer Roberta Flack has passed away at the age of 88. Daily Express, again, got Roberta Flack's passing on the front. Reeves urged to stop state pension being taxed. And finally, the Daily Star, because we need some balance in our life. They lead with a staff warning that a massive nuclear strike may be the only way to divert an asteroid. So they lead, boffins warn that we'll need lots of luck and plenty of nuclear warheads to stop pesky asteroid destroying the Earth. We're going to need a bigger nuke. And those for better, worse, or impending asteroid destruction, who had that, and bingo cards, are our headlines on this Tuesday, the 25th of February.
Viewpoint
with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively. If you want to get your opinion in first, these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And don't forget, we have our what I now call the poll of polls running this morning on Viewpoint as follows. So looking at the poll of polls, what I'm asking today is with the US voting with Russia at the UN overnight, do you think that the US, European relations are at their lowest point? And what I have at the moment is yes, 91%. No, 1%. Don't know's 8%. And Mary comes in saying there is no relationship and there hasn't been for a long time. Bit of a sham for the cameras. Meanwhile, Lainey says, I have had nightmares all night about Trump. God, no more news for me. Getting a new bed in case somebody passed away in it. Good morning. So there you go. So if you haven't been up to date with that, let me just say what happened last night then. The BBC was reporting that the US sides with Russia on UN resolutions on Ukraine. The US twice sided with Russia on votes at the United Nations to mark the third anniversary of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, highlighting the Trump administration's change of stance on the war. First, the US opposed a European drafted resolution condemning Moscow's actions and supporting Ukraine's territorial integrity, voting the same way as Russia and countries including North Korea and Belarus at the UN General Assembly in New York. Then the US drafted and voted for a resolution in the UN Security Council, which called for an end to the conflict, but contained no criticism of Russia. The Security Council passed the resolution, but two key allies, the UK and France, abstained after their attempts to amend the voting were reworded. The UN resolutions were tabled as French President Emmanuel Macron visited President Donald Trump at the White House. Pictures of them all smiling, of course, on the front pages. This is an attempt to address their sharp differences over the war. On Thursday, Keir Starmer would likewise visit the new American leader. Trump's White House has upended the transatlantic alliance, currying favor with Moscow and casting doubt on America's long-term commitment to European security. That rift was laid bare on the floor of the 193-member UNGA yesterday as US diplomats pushed their limited resolution mourning the loss of life during the Russia-Ukraine conflict and calling for a swift end to it. European diplomats tabled a more detailed text blaming Russia for its full-scale invasion and supporting Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity. We need to reconfirm that aggression should be condemned and discredited, not rewarded, said Ukrainian Deputy Foreign Minister Marina Betsa. UNGA members backed the European resolution by 93 votes, but extraordinarily, the US did not abstain, but actually voted against it, along with Russia, Israel, North Korea, Sudan, Belarus, Hungary, and 11 other states. They also passed the US resolution, but only after it was amended to include language supporting Ukraine, which led to the US abstaining. So back to the poll of polls, which you're saying this morning, with the US voting with Russia at the UN yesterday, do you think that US-European relations are at the lowest point? 91% say yes, it is. 1% says no. And 8% says don't know. So, panel, good morning to Tim Stafford, by the way.
Good morning, Giles.
And good morning to Jamie Hamilton Milan.
Good morning.
How are you doing today this morning?
Slightly flustered.
Flustered?
Trying to work out this mic.
Yeah, that's good.
Can't work the coffee machine.
Well, no, it's all right. We've got our best people on it. Don't worry about that.
What, is it broken?
No, it just needs a little bit of magic.
Calcium or something.
Because of heavy use, you see. I don't know who
what
that
mean
could,
by you.
I don't know who that could possibly be. Yes.
17 litres every morning.
Well, you know, you've got to have a hobby. So, Jamie, should we start with you on this one?
What's the question? Okay. Happy to answer.
Or to me, even. We're now, 100 days into the Trump presidency? safe to say that in all my years as quote-unquote a media professional, and you can both grimace all you like, though, I don't think I've ever seen anything like this. You go to bed in the morning, you go to bed at night, you wake up the next morning, you ping on your whatever your device you see your news from, and you go, good grief. Because it's certainly been, as Mandelson said, Lord Mandelson, the UK ambassador, he said it's interesting. You know, may you live in interesting times. And this whole geopolitical shift that we seem to be seeing with Trump doing, you know, having these meetings having the US representatives having meetings with Russian representatives about Ukraine without Ukraine being involved. And everybody else in Europe stands up and goes, good grief, this is horrendous. And we need to protect Ukraine 3 years from the war. Jamie, what's your stance on this, do you think?
I'll try and with...
withhold my particularly crazy points of view, but if we just imagine that this is all real, then I know. See what I mean? It's going to be crazy.
I
try not to pay any attention to the mainstream media, or maybe get a filtered version of it, because it's just impossible. It's painful to watch. But if we imagine that Donald is actually trying to leverage some kind of peace, the reaction by BBC, Sky, you know, all the sort of mainstream stuff in English that's available, for me is absolutely bonkers, in the sense that it seems like everyone's become like this war hawk. War hawk. You know, there's this kind of clamour for more spending. We've got to get everything organised. We need to have potential nuclear strikes, all this sort of stuff. At the end of the day, if anything that stops more than the already million dead in that region, for whatever reason you believe that war started, surely is a good thing. It's got to be, you know, at least, you know, open dialogue between the Kremlin and the White House. Surely that's a good thing. You know, that's what ended the Cold War. You know, surely, you know, the most horrific, or one of the most horrific wars of the recent past, especially, you know, very, very close to Europe. Any attempts, however left field and unorthodox that Donald happens to be, any attempts to bring peace to that region and open up the dialogue is good.
I mean, people might argue that if you're going to give Russia basically what it's, you know, saying, okay, you can have what you've taken so far, is that not surely a capitulation? You're both shaking your heads on this one.
Well, I mean, there was a peace treaty in place prior to the invasion. There was a peace treaty in place that was kiboshed by the lovely Boris Johnson, you know, working,
so that was
working
real
on behalf
warmth
of
in your voice there, Jamie.
What do you mean, the level of sarcasm? You know, heavily funded by the arms dealers that he works for, you know, to make sure that peace didn't happen. You know, I know what I know about Ukraine. At the end of the day, you know, the idea that Putin is trying to invade Ukraine and then take over the next states and somehow he's like the neo Hitler of Europe is just utter nonsense. The only person, as far as I can see, who's remained objective and pragmatic and sort of vaguely wise in this whole conflict is Putin. 100%. I mean, if it's on the news, I will immediately assume that it's just propaganda lies. I mean, we definitely had weapons of mass destruction when last time we went to a massive war and triggered all that carnage and death in the Middle East. So if you're watching it real time, chances are it's a lie. They'll come back and maybe admit that they were wrong 3 or 4 years later once the damage is done.
Always live. Good to have you with us, Jamie. Tim.
Yes, it's a very difficult situation where, as it stands, the Russians have, I think, 18% of the Ukraine on that side. I mean, it started in 2013 with Crimea, and it's had a stalemate in battle theatre terms, in the sense that very few gains are being made, and if anything, it's going back the other way. Kursk and so on. Belarus has been sitting there with vaguely threatening to the north of Ukraine. There's been a great state of readiness, often trained by British soldiers in Estonia and Finland are on the readiness too, and so too Sweden, in particular Sweden, who have been providing arms to Ukraine from the start. The French have taken a very typically French view that they will be the arbiter of nuclear installments in other places, as if no other nation is capable of doing that, let alone the sort of British submarines sort of hovering around fully armed.
We're going to get Trident back in, are we now?
Well, you see. And, you know, what is Trump doing? Well, what sort? If you sort of looked into this very deeply and tried to find a sort of second-hand car salesman tactic for giving you as little as possible for your car, while giving you no discount whatsoever on the guy selling it. That's a sort of Trump tactic. But this is a very sophisticated method where there's no enmity created between him and Putin, as if that's the best method of obtaining some form of peace. If it's that clever, fair enough, because peace is what we want. And as has already been mentioned, I mean, there are, on the Russian side, something like 880,000 men dead or seriously injured, and probably 200,000 or 300,000 on the Ukrainian side. So it's this big World War II Stalingrad numbers. And it can't go on. It has to be stopped in some way. But I can't see that the Ukrainians will ever concede that 18% currently held by the Russians. I think that the thing will have to be a retreat by the Russians to their own long-standing border before any real peace can be obtained.
Yeah, I mean two things. Not that I'm disagreeing with you.
The Donbass, Church, he can disagree nicely on viewpoints.
The Donbass region, the Russian-speaking region that's been trying to kind of align itself with Russia for years, that's the bit that he wants, obviously. And at the end of the day, though, if you take that out of the mix and just go back to the end of the Cold War, you know, Putin is on the record for years saying, like, if you facilitate NATO membership with Ukraine and or, you know, all the other nations that were built up against the original handshake agreement that was made at the end of the Cold War to keep a buffer between the two major forces. If you know, that's being ignored ultimately, and Putin's been saying, if you step over those lines, I have to do something about it, and that's just the be all and end all of it. You know, ultimately, the instability, the death, the potential of some kind of nuclear reaction, all of these things can be you know, ended with some kind of peace. Obviously, Trump's negotiating tactics, you know, who knows? He sort of reminds me of Jose Mourinho in the sense that he just stands up and causes a complete, like, you know, apoplectic rage by the press. And in the meantime, he's probably getting up to other stuff in the background. He's just taking all the focus onto him.
Is this the magician? You know, here's my left hand. Look at my left hand while the right hand is doing something.
I think so, yeah. I think so. I mean, look, at the end of the day, I don't think Trump's in control. I don't think any president's in control. So ultimately, there's definitely going to be negotiations that have got absolutely nothing to do with him going on behind the scenes. So, I mean, Putin has alluded to it in the past, you know, as if to say it doesn't really matter who the president is. We have people we speak to in the government.
So, as a bleeding heart liberal and member of the mainstream media,
is that you?
That's me. Yes, exactly. I offer myself up there on a platter for you. But am I getting this completely wrong then, panel? Because, you know, I look at the news and I look at what's been happening in the, you know, since Donald Trump took over again, and I go, this is insanity. This is, you know, 80 years since the fall, since victory in Europe, etc. And we have diplomacy and we have alliances to stop all this. And there are channels we should go through. So as is my worldview outdated then? Am I looking at it through the wrong? Because what I'm seeing is, and people phone me up, people run up this show and go, when we get a closed circuit TV thing, people go, it's 1984, we're being watched by Big Brother. But this is 1984, because in 1984 the world is in three different zones. You know, you have the Europa, you have the Eurasia, etc. So you've got China, major power broker, you've got Russia, major power broker, and you've got the States or the America as a major power broker. Mm-hmm. And this is a worldview that is Trump aligning with Putin because of fear of China, because You know, because the Russian economy is a basket case. He knows
according
that.
To who?
Well, I mean, you, come on, with the Russian, with I mean, Russian.
Right. I mean, again, yeah. Go on. Sorry, let me finish your point.
All right, and so it is perhaps a fear of China, which you know Donald Trump has always had. China has always had a problem with since the thing of which we cannot speak 5 years ago, the virus. You know, it was a whole China thing. Do you think that he's trying to make an arrangement with Putin because Trump conceives? Regards Putin as a strong leader. Trump regards himself as a strong leader, and it's better to have Trump on his side because at least Russia, America, although it might scramble my liberal brain to get on with the concept of that, is in a far better position than a Russia-China alliance, for example.
I mean, I think, you know, whatever's happening, if you take Trump out of the process altogether and just look at what's happened up until the point where he got in the first place, and now in 2020. The kind of existing system didn't really work in the sense that America liberally went around and just started wars in random places, you know, created reasons to go to war, you know, took over vast swathes of mineral resources or oil or whatever they were looking for. And if this new tactic, if it is a new tactic, if it is Trump who's directing it, leads to, you know, Putin stepping back and some kind of ongoing peace, rather than what it seems to be by, you know, from what I can see from the European Union leaders, which is, you know, let's ramp up our defence. Let's make sure that we've got troops on the ground in NATO. In the ground in Ukraine. If there's troops in Ukraine, Putin's not going to stop.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. That's the whole reason for why there's a war. Ultimately, he said, like it was back in 1989, there's got to be a buffer between the two. I think that the tactic that's being employed, if that is what's happening, if it means that there's peace as a result of having a chat and opening up communications with Putin, that's great. China, again, I don't see them as an aggressive force. The way they've gone around increasing their overall power is by investment. You know, so they've invested huge quantities of cash.
Soft power.
Yeah, soft power. Whereas America's just gone around crashing around, destroying countries left, right and centre and funding, you know, terrorist organisations to give them the excuse to go and do that.
Tim, any thoughts on what...
Yes, I think the tactics being employed by Donald Trump are, in a way, I mean, he can fall out with anybody very quickly. Don't forget that with Donald Trump. And when he does, he vengeance is mine, is his attitude. And it's written everywhere in his progress. So he could fall out with Putin. Putin, the tremendous secret service that the Ukrainians employ has led to many of the most dangerous and war criminal style Russian generals being killed
planes being blown out of the sky.
Well, yeah, and lift shafts being turned into sort of human sort of incinerators and things like that.
Look at the view from the window.
Look at that. And so, you know, all this sort of underhand and very difficult classic sort of Eastern Bloc action is going to continue for as long as, and it will continue even if some sort of arrangement was made between Donald Trump and Putin. The Ukrainians are not going to cease to try and continue to reobtain their own territory. So that won't be an end. The end will come either with Putin's actual demise, which is one thing that could happen. Although he's probably sitting in a little bunker somewhere underneath the
his head frozen somewhere.
Could be. There will be a genuine peacekeeping effort made by European nations. The trouble is, though, that would, to Putin, that would infer, that kind of peacekeeping nation, that they have actually joined with us.
To the lines we go. I want to come back about a buzzword you just dropped in there. To the lines we go. Morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Felix.
Morning, Felix.
How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, my friend. And yourself?
Okay. Right. As I say, in for a penny, in for a pound.
That's what we like.
So, first of all, I'll preface these points by saying that already I'm confused by your panel. But that's all right, because I made some points here and before this started. And this situation in Ukraine, if ever there was a situation in the world, is completely enmeshed in history. And I'll make the point that Trump is very often correct in his pronouncements. And he was here again correct in saying that this terrible war was begun by Ukraine. This time, very suddenly, in the history of the thing, promoted by the American neocon government of the Clinton regime. How precisely has this happened? And this is where we start to get really, really difficult questions. Stalinism and Stalin had come to have no moral right to rule after the Second World War. He had murdered the old Bolsheviks like Kamenev and Zinoviev in the 1937 Moscow trials, and 3 years later, he murdered Trotsky in Mexico in 1940. Then the war, then the aftermath, then Yeltsin, so on. Stalinism had lost its right to rule and it began to break up. Yet, when Hitler attacked Russia in 1941, which is surely a key point, the Russian people as a whole resisted and they had to suffer. Jewish people in Russia especially faced immediately the first stages of the Holocaust, and this was the Holocaust by bullets. Now, even then, we have to go back to try to find the origins of this. And this, in my opinion, was out of the pogroms of 1919, which happened as a result of the 1917 Russian Revolution.
Right.
And the henchmen of the Nazis in the Holocaust have their origins in that time period of the pogroms of 1919,
right,
which is part of the Civil War. Okay. Now, that's the only way to understand the extreme violence of the Maidan coup, which is in our recent past.
Right.
The Maidan coup.
The what coup, sorry?
I don't know how to pronounce it. Is it my Maidan or Maidan? I think it's Maidan. The Maidan coup.
Yeah.
Maidan.
Maidan.
Which is the Maidan. Thank you. Maidan. Yeah.
Thank you, Jamie.
Sorry.
Jamie, yes, thank you. Was it a violent coup? Oh, yes, it was based on extreme violence, my friends. Its climax was when snipers were brought in and began the shooting from high buildings controlled by their side. Their side. This was obviously a provocation.
Okay.
And the aftermath of that was just as violent and was driven by extreme hatred of Russia. All of this violence now in this situation in the world being promoted by America and Europe, by Obama and then the continuation of Obama, which we have seen. Surrounded and isolated with dangers of Russians in Ukraine being wiped out, Putin moved in 22 to save Russia.
Right.
He was weak and he only mobilized 40,000. But even so, in 2 months, there were negotiations in Turkey, which you have already alluded to, and a chance of settlement just before there was any real death taking place. And Boris Johnson then intervened and the war then took its pattern. But just my main point here is that this hatred of Russia from Ukraine and from all these Ukrainians who have sprouted up during the decades has its roots in the Russian Revolution of 1917 and the changes that that took place, that caused to take place in the world. Listening to your program, had it turned off because Tim was suggesting in his point that Ukraine was winning this war. Why do people say things like this? Are they not reading anything that's happening? Have they no other sources except the BBC? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Felix, for that call in. I can't, Tim.
Yes, I can't ever remember saying that Ukraine was winning the war. I said it was a stalemate, and that's effectively what it is. The incursion that the Ukrainians have made into the Kursk area, it was part, I believe, of a retake of land which might have been useful in a negotiation. There's been no progress by the Russians in the last year. I'm not suggesting in any way that there's a victor on any side or a likely one as it stands. So that's not quite right, and I don't even see the BBC.
Right there, Jamie.
No, I was going to say that with regard to the kind of build-up, the history...
By the way, what's Maidan? But what's this Maidan thing that Felix was going
well,
on?
This is what I was going to come to. Obviously, Ukraine has always been an incredibly important geopolitical zone, just with regard to agriculture, but certainly minerals and whatnot. But its position as a buffer between Russia and the rest of Europe is key. But if you look at the previous history, going back to say I don't know when the Maidan was, but the interference. Assassination, which happened of an elected leader or the elected leader of Ukraine. America have been interfering and trying to put in their puppets for plenty of time before this has all come. And the idea, I think, that the Ukrainian people are represented in some form, I think, is wrong. I think that. If there was a snap election today, which there won't be, I don't think Zelensky would get in. And that's a reflection of the fact that Ukrainian politics have been manipulated to suit US interests for about a decade, if not longer. This whole reinforcement and or expansion of NATO's forces against Russia is essentially the reason for all of this. And that's the big problem. I don't see Putin as an aggressor. And if you compare any of the things he's done in comparison to what NATO's done and or what America does since post World War II, he's a peacekeeper. We are the aggressors.
Going to the poll of polls as it stands at the moment, with US voting with Russia at the UN yesterday, do you think that US-European relations are at the lowest point? 87% say yes, 5% no, 8% still undivided. Jamie, what are you
looking at? Wait a second, 87% of people think that Russian-US...
No, US-European relations are at the lowest point.
All right.
Yeah, indeed.
This is the other point I was going to make. In 2016, Trump... I mean, again, if you want to believe that this is all the way it's, the way it is, the argument that, or a lot of people would use the argument that the reason why Trump was so hated was because he kept on trying to stop wars, and that really annoyed the permanent states who just essentially want to go and wage war.
Dick Cheney is very upset with that allegation.
Exactly. Dick Cheney, the man who endorsed Kamala Harris, and Democrats going, yes! What, you mean the guy that literally just completely destroyed Iraq, no-bid contracts, billions of dollars coming back into his pocket from a completely engineered war, and then the rebuilding process of after they smashed the place to bits. If he's on the side of the Dems, you know, what are the Democrats? I thought they were supposed to be kind of like, you know, peace-loving.
Well, but I mean, they've just disappeared off the face of the earth, Democrats. You would have thought they would have been screaming, where are the Democrats in the middle of all this?
I don't think they've got a couple of people that they're trying to sort of tee up to lead it, but
I mean, opposition, you think they'd be going, you know, you think that somebody...
Opposition to what?
To Trump's situation at the moment. I mean, surely Democrats, as an opposition party in the States, would be having a voice going, you know, we don't... Mr. President, you're wrong. We shouldn't be doing this.
I think they've made a fundamental mistake in trying to make Trump appear to be extremely evil, and inferring that he was similar to Hitler and so on, and that those who voted for him among the electorate were very, very foolish people, undereducated. I mean, they've in that sense, the Democrats have shot, have made themselves look as if they're a pack of liars, and at the moment they are completely rudderless, and they have no leadership. So there's not going to be opposed to any of this, apart from by the sort of over politicized judicial system, which is going, as it's the U.S. and as these various states are using public money, and it's not costing them anything to bring about these prosecutions. All this legislation will be difficult. But back to the Ukraine issue, we've had this sort of litany of historical reference going back to 1917 and so on, and that this is the reason why Russia is as it is, and this is the reason why Europe reacts as it does. We learn nothing from history, and this is a completely different set of circumstances where all those former enmities, although known, obviously, are not particularly relevant to a sort of really dynamic geopolitical situation at the moment, where you've got the Koreans fighting for the Russians, which is very disturbing to the Chinese. The tensions between the both Koreas, you've got Europe having to effectively stand in defence terms, independent of the US. But in fact, before the Second World War, the US was not, and had to be mightily persuaded by Churchill to contribute to the defence of Europe. So it's not an unusual situation, but that, absolutely, why not? But I don't see why or how this can be ended until such time as the Russians relinquish the ground they've gained in Ukraine.
Going to take a quick break, and then we'll go back for the last 9 minutes of the first half of Viewpoint.
Viewpoint
with Giles Brown.
Always live. This one being no exception. Joined in the studio by Jamie Hounds of Milan and Tim Stafford. If you want to get involved with today's Viewpoint,
to contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And it's to the WhatsApps we go. If you want to get your phone calls in, do them now, because we've got 7 minutes before the break. How is it the USA has voted with Russia, Belarus and North Korea opposing that UN resolution that condemns Putin's invasion of Ukraine? That's it. The word is bleep. Yesterday, Michael Filoni, who is the injured police officer on the 6th, was attacked by Proud Boy leader at an anti-Trump conference, and death threats were made. Appeasement worked well in the 1930s, didn't it? Says one. Appeasement worked well in the 1930s, didn't it? Also, this one in. Sam says, oh, how they scrambled to try and put their names on stopping the war. Too little, too late. I'm not a Trump supporter, but he will have his name on stopping two wars in 1 month. Not quite the first day he said he would do in, but the stopping of thousands of men dying every day should have always been everybody's priority before some sort of moral high ground. Ask any soldier. Now, surely stopping lives from dying is the priority of all situations. It doesn't matter whether you spill out used cars dealership analysis of Trump or anything of that sort. Men being blown to smithereens, boys being blown to smithereens, families broken up, is first and foremost something that should always stop. Hands down, no other argument. This one as well. So, after the UN voted on the war on Ukraine, Trump has now revealed himself as a Russian cuckoo in an American nest. It's incredible to see the US voting along with North Korea. This has bode well for the future. Oh, blimey, right. So an absolutely huge one there. We got, pardon the expression, 100 days, no, 36, excuse me. And finally, a meeting at the White Horse sounds much more fun and might get better results. Oh, yes, the Sloaney Pony. One man who was always, I bumped into with the Sloaney Pony, was our next caller. Morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles, yourself.
Yeah, did you ever go to the White Horse in Parsons Green, Alf?
I went to the White Horse East Ham.
Right, no, well, it's an entirely different beast, I can assure you.
Not really. It was a big pub where all the strange people used to go to listen to strange music.
Right, well,
I suppose it's similar.
Similar, indeed.
Well, no, they wouldn't have been Sloan Rangers because it was East London. We didn't have any Sloan.
No, exactly. BH before Hoxton. Right then. What's your viewpoint, Alf?
Morning, Jamie. Morning, Tim.
Morning.
Hi, Alf. Nice to hear your voice again. I understand you've been poorly.
Well, I was. Back and I won't say fit, but I'm back and well.
Good.
Right, then, we've got 5 minutes, Alf.
Yes, I know, but I won't fill it all up, honestly. First of all, Jamie, you're not bonkers. You keep on classing yourself as bonkers. Oh, I've got these bonkers things. You're not bonkers. You just have a different perception on what's going on. And you should keep on saying that. It's because everybody's watching this mainstream media and Sky and BBC as if anybody believes, as if everybody believes it. I watch all different things, but you take in what you take in, and for those idiots that just take it in and say, oh, this must be real because it was on BBC News, well, you just put them into that box that says, well, you're idiots. Unfortunately, as I always say, they make up by far the greater proportion of the population who can't be bothered to investigate what's going on, who can't be bothered to listen to different points of view, who can't be bothered to... So you're not bonkers, mate. You just have a different perception, and that's what makes the world go round, isn't it? Secondly, Giles, when Jamie said something, you went... So we're going back to the Trident. Yeah, we're going to go Trident back.
Talking about nuclear deterrence, and yes,
going to get Trident back. Trident's never been anywhere.
No, that's what I mean. I meant this. Oh, we got this Trident because people say for years, why have we got Trident? We don't need Trident. We don't need an independent nuclear deterrent.
Right, of course. That's what the word is. You see, it's deterrent. It's not we have nuclear weapons to blow people apart. It's a deterrent to stop people from doing it. I'm not sure it's ever stopped anybody. Presumably it stopped people from attacking the UK, but even then you go, attack Russia, are they going to use nuclear weapons? Unlikely. It's all much of a muchness, isn't it? It's when you end up with the India-Pakistan issue and you go, would the Pakistanis use nuclear weapons against the Indian? Well, when there's pure hatred between tribal people, the chances are they may. So you have to, or North Korea, cool blimey. If he's got a button, he's probably got more than one button to confuse him. And also, I must admit, you are moving around that political circle that you keep talking about, because you start off, I'm a conservative with a small C, which is called a conservatory, which you go planting. Now, you're a bleeding out liberal. You'll be a Marxist.
To be honest with you, Alf, at the moment... having done this show for over a decade, if that doesn't...
Because I always told you, and Lord, I always tell everybody,
right,
you put your own label on, but everybody else will put their label on you. Control that.
Mine's normally buy one, get one free, Alf, but never mind.
Liar. Free for 2 years has always been. And I'm not sure, Tim, how... you said quite specifically, one of the things that's got to happen is that Russia's got to withdraw to the borders that they originally had. And now we're back into almost a Middle East conflict. There's no way that's going to happen. They're never going to give up Crimea. They're never going to give up their, well, their bridgehead to Crimea, because it's the alternative to the sea, and they always want two ways to do it. So this, again, is one of those, you're never going to get it, you're never going to achieve it, it's never going to be part of a negotiation, so what do you do instead? And then we have, you know, the classic. And I mean the classic, because I love Kiel. Kiel comes on and he tells all this historical stuff about the Middle East. And now today we have Felix, and I just go, wonderful stuff. You know, but to be honest, I think you said it a couple of weeks ago, Giles. Well, let's go back to the Knights and the Saracens. We'll start back at the beginning. Is that the beginning? I'm not sure.
I've still
is,
got to think about the Visigoths, but anyway, let's not even
go. And you just go, look, we've had enough. We all understand there is history. We know this history. And there's probably history that can never, ever be ameliorated. And, you know, you're never going to get two groups of people agreeing on something that they've disagreed on for centuries. Centuries. You're never going to get, you know, a Christian agreeing with a Muslim. They live together is the difference. They don't have to agree. They just have to live together.
Alf, so, we're about to hear the bongos.
Okay. Stop the history.
Yeah.
Tell us how we cure the problem of Ukraine.
And I like the fact that you said tribal peoples will never be together, and that coming from a man who's a West Ham fan. We're going to be back.
Indeed.
After the break with a small C. News and international and national news up next, and then back with more Viewpoints.
Talk Radio Europe.
Your voice in Spain.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Always live, always lively. Joined in the studio by Tim Stafford and Jamie Hamilton Milan, the panel that's with us. If you want to get involved and get your viewpoint across, these other numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
I think for my end of the year show this year, we should dispense with that backing thing and actually have live bongos with you two. I think that would be the moment. How are your skills on the washboard, Jamie?
The what?
Exactly. Yeah. Right then, to the correspondents we go. Good morning to Elizabeth in Brighton, saying Ukraine is a sovereign country and therefore can love, hate or ignore whomever it likes. Stay safe, thank you. To the WhatsApps we go again, and the following. That chap, Alf. Alfie, what's it all about? What's it all about? Spoils your program, spelt with just one M. Any other computer software is available. I'm sorry you didn't think Alf spoils my program, but it's Viewpoints, so therefore, and I think he was quite restrained. If you've heard an Alfism, which I'm sure we'll have more of later on, if not in the next 50 seconds, he'll probably be back on. Meanwhile, hi there. Good morning, Paddy. Is BBC Radio 4 considered mainstream media? Most people on your show, including Alf, refer to watching... He gets a lot of fan mail, doesn't he, our Alf? Including Alf, refer to watching the BBC and not listening to the news. For me, the BBC radio correspondents are, in general, of the highest calibre, along with, of course, TRE. Stop laughing like that, as you say.
Oh, God.
Yes, indeed.
State-funded propaganda.
What, TRE?
No,
BBC.
Highest calibre, like TRE.
The fact is that there are no journalists such as there were when I was a younger man.
And the policeman. What do you mean there's no journalists like there were when you were a younger man?
Well, the truly non-partisan who were simply reporting the facts. It's almost impossible with the algorithmic difficulties we have to establish for yourself without tremendous research, to use that awful warped and distorted word.
Do you research?
To find the actualité. Because And I don't even know whether our dear political leaders, who may have, and I'm sure do have, greater intelligence in terms of information, are immune to that either. Because they're basically populists. What are politicians but that?
If you answer that, 952-784-1000.
No, I just think that, as you were saying, the difficulty of trying to form an opinion that is somewhat independent is really, really tough. And I think that, you know, I used to listen to the BBC and think, oh, that's impartial. And it's just not even close to impartial. You know, any genuine journalists out there, as we were saying outside, you know, if they're getting shadow banned, censored, smeared, taken down in some way, then chances are they're telling the truth. And I just think what we are exposed to essentially is theatre most of the time. And the agenda is the agenda.
To the lines we go. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, Charles. It's Marcio from Malaga.
Marcio, good morning to you, my friend. Thank you for sending me in that email, by the way. I have received it, so thank you for that.
Good. I just wanted to go to the roots, to the normal people on the ground, not politicians, not what's going on in the world. Yesterday, I had a talk with a friend of mine in Gubiansk via Telegram. And those friends of mine, you call them brother in arms in English, former, and they told me one thing. They don't fight for Ukraine. They don't fight for an idea anymore. They fight for their friends because they want to go home, many of them, to Australia, to New Zealand, to United States, to Canada, wherever they come from. But they cannot leave because they have friends now they're fighting with. So that is the real basic. And they hope that the war soon ends, regardless who wins the war, or if it's the Russian or Ukrainian, just to stop the fighting, stop the killing. They feel obliged to stay with their friends. So the war has changed the character for those soldiers on the field. This is what I wanted to say. So they hope everything ends soon.
It's always been that. I mean, I've been listening to people in the Second World War, because we've got the 80th anniversary of Iwo Jima at the moment, and people went back to fight to be with their friends. Tim, you want to come on or something?
Yeah, I'm just to echo everything that's just been said, that, you know, greater love hath no man that he lays down his life for his friends. And I do think the servicemen, or those involved fighting in a war, are driven by that principle that you may claim to be fighting for Queen and Country, or for your own nation, for the women and children who are behind you and you're trying to defend them, and so on. But when you're actually in the minutiae of a war theatre, if that's the way to put it, then yes, friends. And they won't be abandoning each other, those Ukrainians who very, very valiantly, to this point, defended themselves.
I just want to say that when you have all those people that are listening and listening to the politicians or hearing everything, all the experts in the world, remember those normal foot soldiers over there. They want to go home. That's one other thing I want to say.
Thank you. Thank you for your call, and always good to hear from you, my friend.
Bye-bye.
We will. Don't worry about that. 952-784-1000. On studio at tre.radio, Linda, good morning to you. She says, so refreshing to hear an intelligent view of the Ukraine situation, unlike the BBC. Great guests. Thank you. That's from Linda. So there you go, panel. You may bask in your reflective glory there. Yeah, that's heavy basking going on there. I have to laugh. Everyone uses or alludes to the words algorithm, while few, if any, can provide a definition of the word.
Well, it's a computer-generated stream of direction, which leads those who are particularly interested in one subject to continue in the stream of their own subject, rather than being diversified or diverted, I should say, into more sort of opposing views, and so it's a sort of an echo. It is the leading into an echo chamber. Similarly to, oh, this lady wants to buy a new hairdryer. I know this because she went on this site, and so on your social media, suddenly you'll see all these advertisements for head.
You see, all I used to get were sort of like Russian offers of Russian brides and gay cruises. Perhaps that's my algorithm going, but not particularly banal. Don't look at me like that, Jamie. It's a true story. It's nothing, honestly. Anyway, moving swiftly onwards. Macron's in the White House, was in pictured. sorry. Listeners, Jamie just rolled his eyes with brilliant comic timing. But Macron was in the White House yesterday. Now he's supposed to be, you know, this guy, oh, it's going to be really, it's going to be fireworks. Macron standing up against Trump, the whole thing. And then, you know, you flick open, if you go to your ye old fashioned mainstream media, you know, on parchment, you will see lots of pictures of grinning Macron and Trump, giving each other, like fist bumps, basically. And you think to yourself, hang on a second, I thought this is supposed to be, you know, the Grand France standing up, the Belle France standing up against, and showing the Americans, those damn Yankees, what Europe feels. I mean, this is never going to happen. I mean, this whole thing about European, well, you know, Europe's got to redo its borders and we're going to have the Franco-German powerhouse, even though the results from the elections in Germany haven't exactly been, you could say, pushing for greater Franco-German ties. And Keir Starmer's supposed to be going over there on Thursday. And there's an eye roll from Tim. He says, this is good. So Keir Starmer's going over on Thursday. And you kind of think that, do you think Macron's stolen his Sunday? Do you think that the UK actually has anything to offer, the States anymore? Because, if it's supposed to be a special relationship and, you know, the States is the big brother to the UK, stop laughing, Jamie, to the UK, then if the States is diametrically opposed in its aims to what the UK is aiming for, then surely there's no relationship whatsoever. I'll take a call before we go to the more eye-rolling. Morning, caller, alive on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, it's Gil from Cal.
Morning, Gil.
Morning. The funniest thing I heard this morning is that the BBC is impartial, yeah? I've never heard such nonsense in my life. I mean, I've been following the BBC, and as you know, I know a lot about the conflict of the Middle East, and the last thing it is impartial, yeah? Well, where do I start? But I won't go into that, okay? Yeah. Let's talk about Ukraine. This idea that, Putin, if you just let him, is going to go invade all of Europe and reach as far as Portugal, you know, I don't buy this. And I think that there was a provocation from the Ukrainian side. There were several provocations. I mean, first with Crimea, the Russians and the Ukrainians had this agreement that the Russians can keep their base in Sebastopol. And then the Ukrainians said that they're not going to renew this accord, okay? And that was definitely against the agreement that they signed. And that is why Putin took Crimea. Yeah? Now, after that, there were about 8 years of a sort of civil war where the Ukrainians were bombing the Russian separatists in the Donbass and Lugansk. It seems that everybody's forgotten that part, yeah? And this is equivalent of, let's say, the Scottish people wanted independence, and the government in London would say, okay, you want independence? We're now going to bomb you. That's exactly what the Ukrainians did, okay? And that, of course, annoyed the Russians because, of course, they're fighting against Russian speakers, although in Ukraine itself. There was another provocation, the fact that I remember they went fist fighting in the Ukrainian parliament, in the Rada, yeah, because they were talking about having Ukraine as the only official language. Ukraine has minorities. I mean, it's got the Russian minority in the east. It's got Hungarians and Slovakians and Poles in the west. And just like here in Spain, you know, I mean, I live in the Valencian community and we have two languages. We have Castellano and Valenciano, and everything is written twice and it's a real nuisance, okay? But at least it's better than fighting each other over this. And the Ukrainians did not agree to having Russian as a second language, or at least maybe in some part of Ukraine having it as an official language or anything. They didn't agree to anything. I mean, they could not respect the fact that they have minorities in their territory. So I think all these things provoked Russia, and these and it shouldn't be forgotten. And Trump is trying to work out peace. I don't know why people criticize him for that. He just wants to end this war.
Jay?
Yeah, I mean, the point I was going to make originally, you know, if we're to believe the general narrative, you know, the reason why Trump seemingly was so hated and, you know, was all deep state forces were employed against him and have continued to be employed against him up until the point where he's got into power,
yeah.
Seemingly is because he was actually trying to stop war and not create any more war and to perhaps take America out of situations which were costing the taxpayer trillions of dollars, along with all the death, you know, and was trying to be a peacemaker, which he seemingly is doing again. But that seems to enrage Europe. It seems to enrage Macron, and Keir's putting in his camouflage outfit and pretending he's some kind of big war hawk. I mean, it's total madness to me. Like, why are we talking about upping military spending on the basis that, you know, a war might stop? It's just sick.
Yes, to me, to see, I don't understand this European. I think we've got this idea that, Ukraine is a democracy. I mean, it doesn't have that much democratic tradition behind it. It's a relatively new democracy, still very, very corrupt, yeah? Ukraine is this wonderful democracy, and Putin is just another Hitler, and we have to stop him, because if we don't stop him now, he'll conquer all. I mean, it's a lot of rubbish, and I don't know how people believe in such rubbish.
But you could argue, Gil, that obviously Ukraine is more of a democracy than Russia is.
It is. Okay, but, you know, whether it's a democracy more or less, that is not the important thing. And just because it is a supposed democracy, you know, it doesn't mean we have to support them and be against a country which is less democratic. I mean, we have to look at all the facts, okay? And this connects with, you know, what we talked about.
The panel are dying to get involved with this one, girls. Hang on a second. Tim.
Yes, my view is that Putin has taken a historical view of his own nation, and he wants to bring back the might that all of these sort of...
So he's a czarist then, basically.
Yes, and I do believe something of that, because after all, if you only have a look at his background and where his training, if that's the way to put it, came from, to realise that he might have attached tremendous value to that. And then you've got Trump on the other side, who is internalising his own nation, with good cause, I believe, and trying to bring back values that apply. So you've got some, you know, still opposing ideologies, which have focused, or they've been brought into focus, by this defence of Ukraine. The Europeans us as Europeans, are mightily confused by the whole thing, because we've had ghastly, ineffective government for so long. And this big shake-up, this world shake-up that's happening just at this moment, not least among ordinary citizens who are subject to tremendous misinformation, might at some point bring a greater clarity. But I don't think that this war could conceivably end with concessions to Putin on territory.
I mean,
Crimea aside,
Putin was a ranking KGB officer in East Germany when the wall came down. And the Soviet Union, and he's described the Soviet. He's on record saying, you know, the split up of the disintegration of the Soviet Union was the greatest catastrophe in his lifetime.
Yeah.
Yes, he also said it'd be madness to try and put it back again. I think he does want a sort of greater Russia, you know, with Ukraine, Belarus, and so on. But he doesn't want the Soviet Union back. I don't think he wants Turkmenistan, for instance. I mean, the Soviet Union had a lot of, republics that have got nothing to do with Russia or with Russian culture. So I think he wants to unite somehow Belarus, Ukraine, Russia, you know, maybe even part of Moldavia, part of Lithuania. Yeah, but he wants the Russian area. But he wouldn't, I mean, he didn't invade Belarus, you know. He's quite happy that there's
another he's got an ally in Belarus. I mean, he's got a guy, you know. He's got
yes,
a
that's right. He would have been happy with an ally in Ukraine, or at least somebody that, you know, tries to get along with them, because they're actually neighbors, and not somebody who's trying to provoke them all the time and to fight them, you know, and to fight Russian culture and to take all the Russian sculptures down, all the writers and so on, yeah? So, I mean, I don't see him, you know, Putin as a big threat to the other countries or to the West. You know, I don't see that at all.
Thank you for your call in. 952-78-4000 to the WhatsApps we go. If Jamie thinks the BBC aren't impartial, then where does he source his news from? Says one.
Oh, am I answering that question?
You don't have to.
Just as much independent sources as possible, actually going to the, you know, the raw data. You know, there's plenty of journalists out there who don't have or can't get a job at the BBC, can't get a job at the Washington Post, can't get a job at the New York Times, can't get a job at CNN because, you know, they're disagreeing with the official narrative, and the official narrative is a lie.
952-78-4000. To the poll of polls we go. Once again, we're asking the question with the US voting with Russia at the UN yesterday. Do you think US-European relations are at the lowest point? 89% say yes, 3% no. 8% still don't know. Get involved with the Facebook group, which is Talk Radio Europe Official. Define independent. Comes the WhatsApp back to you. This is about independent research things. I mean, define independence.
I don't know where to go with that one.
All right, fair enough.
With no vested interest in the outcome of one's persuasion, uninfluenced by the ideology of other parties, and prepared and open enough to accept there are arguments on both sides.
Uh-huh. Sorry, just on the Trump point comes WhatsApp. One of the guys said about resetting values. Does that include a woman's self-determination on their body?
Oh, I think women should be entirely in charge of their body, except in exceptional circumstances.
Right then, there you go. Thank you, Tim.
When I'm there.
No, I didn't say that.
No, you didn't say that.
I'm going to go to a break and then back with more Viewpoint.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page, Talk Radio Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. And the Facebook page with the poll of polls is on Talk Radio Europe Official. Some other news in a parallel universe, by the way. Today marks the return of Animal Talk with Selena McKenzie. She'll be joined in the studio by Kay Millington, of course, of AAA and Paws Rescue Spain, as well as Kay's lovely, as is Nazli van de Keyboom from Pointer Clinic Estepona, and dog rescuer and expert Ineth Robinson. If you want to get your questions in ahead of the triumphant return of Animal Talk, it's happening at 3 o'clock. So poll of polls, still 89% yes, 3% no, 8% don't know about the lowest point of the US and European relationship. To the lines we go. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Charles, it's me, Marcio, again.
Hi, Marcio.
I just want to tell you, everyone, if somebody's interested, in Sweden, the National Archive is the world's oldest constitution, which is the Ukrainian. It's from 1800s. We had a Swedish king who was fighting in Poltava for 300 years ago. He lost the battle there, and the entire contingent of Ukrainian fighters went with him all the way down to Turkey. That's another part of the story. But they printed a constitution, Ukrainian constitution, which is historically a documentation, the idea of an independent Ukraine already 300 years ago, just for information. Just want to tell that.
Thank you very much for that call in there about the Constitution, my friend. Good to hear from you. If you want to get involved with the show, I said before, these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio.
send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
It's to the WhatsApps we go again. Busy little show this morning. So, oh, come on. WhatsApp. Oh, come on. The Ukrainians have a historic loathing of everything Russian. They remember what Stalin did to their country, so sided with Hitler for obvious reasons. And then after that war, Soviet Russia was determined to eradicate Ukrainian culture and language. They still do. And once again, the Ukrainian people are saying no more. So sided with. Meanwhile, please name those independent journalists. That's from Paddy, talking about independent journalists. Well, okay.
Check out the grey zone.
The grey zone?
Yeah.
What's the grey zone?
Us? It's just two independent journalists who, yeah, they go around debunking a load of stuff.
Are you still watching Rogan on quite a regular basis?
Not so much.
Since the...
Yeah, I mean, it's like
as long as he's mainstream, you think, now?
He's just not prepared to talk about certain topics, which I think are absolutely crucial. And those topics will get you into serious trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But they're pretty obvious. It's pretty obvious that the problem that he's trying to avoid.
Right.
Difficult to... I don't know.
Fair enough.
Well, let's put it... Okay, the influence of Israel.
Ah, right, okay. I'm going to put that box right back into where from whence it came, because we've got 28 minutes and then I can save that powder for another day. Interesting that 20 of Donald Trump's appointments, I'm not, you know, bleeding heart liberal here, hello, mainstream media, 20 of Trump's appointments so far, I think, in agencies have been former Fox News journalists.
Right.
Reagan did it, but Reagan did it.
I'm more concerned about the fact that they're all funded by AIPAC, but there we go.
There is an interesting angle that there are quite a few in podcasts and so on.
Yeah,
are people who've actually transformed from being Democrats to Republicans, mm-hmm. probably on the grounds of they can see the underlying deep state corruption that
or maybe they're just terrified of getting done by Elon Musk and his chainsaw.
The chainsaw, yes, there is a
God. Come on, they had this big conference, they had this big thing. Steve Bannon's there giving a Roman salute. Again?
Steve Bannon's a smart boy.
Well, if they catch...
Is that you making that noise?
Might be.
Sorry, I said it's like low-keening, and I thought it was, you know...
Yeah, well, I'm an alien in many ways. And the other thing about it is that I suppose one could capture any one of us...
Stop doing that, Stafford.
...gesticulating and assume that it is a Roman...
Yeah, the manipulation, I mean, like...
If you throw your hand up at that degree, you know what you're doing.
I beg to differ.
You don't beg to differ.
Stop talking so high.
This is why we don't have a webcam, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. No, because of this, the Conservative Conference had Liz Truss speaking the other week on her favourite subject, which is UK is a no-go zone, it's a Shia republic. Don't say a word. Don't say a word on that one.
Yeah, UK's got some serious problems, which again are not being talked about. But with regard to the switch of a number of key Democrats, you know, I agree with you, like RFK, lifelong, well, I mean, the Democratic royalty, and is now sitting there with Trump and trying to sort stuff out. And that's because the Democratic Party over the last few years has completely lost its mind, and also is the biggest, you know, bunch of warmongering arms dealers ever. So Trump at least is trying peace.
This putting a sanction on aid, saying everything stops for 90 days.
Why not? I mean, if USAID is...
Because my bleeding heart liberal goes, no, this is going to cause reparations, women aren't going to get the things they need in Africa, this, that,
well,
and the other.
That's according to the reports. If you look at the other reports that are going through, there's so much that's been chopped off, which seems to be, you know, completely corrupt, completely useless wastes of taxpayers' money. So, you know, if they can go back and justify what these particular operations were doing, then fine. But we all know the USAID and various other bodies within the US apparatus, whether you're a Republican or Democrat, has been there to to basically, you know, subvert, manipulate, overthrow governments left, right, and center. So, you know, you're going to get these highlighted idiotic cuts or idiotic programs that are being cut.
Yeah.
But again, that's just for the salacious nature of mainstream media, which is to have this red versus blue, everyone hates Trump, everyone likes Trump, whatever. Just no one's really talking about what's actually happening on the ground. And ultimately, if America's to come out and pull out and sort itself out, that's probably not a bad thing. Less war is good, right?
Yeah, okay, fair enough. If you were in the FBI now, would you be worried? If you were an FBI operative?
If I'd been an FBI...
I've heard reports that they're not even talking on official emails now. They're using Signal to communicate, you know, because they're terrified. Right. Because Musk said, I want five points at the end of the week, what you've achieved, you know, subverting a continent, for example. And they are, you know, and they're worried. And some bosses are saying, don't answer this. And some people are saying, this is top secret nature stuff you could be telling him here.
Yeah, I heard that on the World Service, yeah. The point that was Eisenhower that said ultimately, you know, the deep state is the big problem and that needs to be sorted out. I mean, again, this harks back to that. Ultimately, FBI... You know, some of the stuff that these guys get up to is just completely and utterly illegal. So, yeah, they should be a little bit worried. If Trump and Elon are trying to try and do something good, I don't think they are, but there we go.
Okay, we've got a... Timmy, going to say something? Because I've got a call. Okay,
I was just thinking, a comparison. If you look at the reaction to the COVID epidemic in the UK... All of a sudden, these protective equipment and so on, companies sprang out of the blue, owned by goodness knows whom. And that, as far as I'm aware, that has never been properly investigated because it's corruption. And the same is applying in the revelations of Doge.
Right, the revelations of Doge. It sounds like a chapter from the Old Testament. Going to the lines and we go. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? It's a great name for a band, the revelations of Doge.
I just thought I'd ring in and spoil your show.
Oh, okay, yeah, come on, spoiler. Spoiler.
Well, I think you gave a hint as to who it is, and all we ever say to these people is, why don't you ring in and join in instead of
it's easier to jeer from the touchlines like an angry parent at a 12-year-old's football match. Absolutely. Not knowing the offside rule.
So agreeing with Jamie about the way the media deals with everything, and asking this is a serious question to both of you. Why is it that when we talk about the Middle East and Gaza, when there's mention of a peacekeeping force, all hell breaks loose, and we're not having this, and we're not having that. When they talk of a ceasefire, all hell breaks loose because we don't, you know, the Israelis don't trust Hamas and all that. And what we've got to do is we've got to wipe out Hamas. And yet when it comes to Ukraine, one of the first things they talk about, collectively, let's have a peacekeeping force. We haven't even got peace in Ukraine, but they're talking about a peacekeeping force. And a question, a peacekeeping force made up of presumably European countries, maybe Canada and a few other outsiders, Australia, maybe, but a peacekeeping force, which presumably will act on the Ukraine side of whatever line is put there to divide. And, right. And I think Tim's right. I mean, I can't see Russia giving up the Donbass. That's what his claim was. We want the bridge from Russia to the Crimea, the land bridge. You know, and he built that other bridge across the sea, and he's got his sea way into the Crimea. And it was about protecting. And then what he wanted was a barrier, the buffer between Ukraine and that part of the Ukraine, Crimea, a bit of Donbass, in order to keep some buffer zone. So who's gonna be the peacekeeping force in there? Russians? You know, this is setting up a side. So again, and the same with, you know, let's have a 90-day ceasefire. The first thing that will be said by somebody will be, that's just to allow Putin to, you know, to rearm himself and to re-get his forces and gather his elements, and then he'll start again. So there is no peace coming from it.
Right.
And I think, yeah, we're into the... It's very similar, in my view, between the Middle East and Ukraine. It's called... We need to find a way where everybody can live together in a form of peace. And the only chance of that happening is if you keep a divide. So, you know, Ukraine will never, you know, that bit of Ukraine, whatever it is, about 20% of Ukraine that Russia have got or controlling, will never go back to the Ukraine. Gaza will remain forever. Now they're talking about the West Bank being turned into a similar, you know, with the walls and etc.
Yep.
As Gaza.
Got some more calls coming in, Alf, just to let you know.
Okay, but it's about divide and peace, not about trying to find settlements so land gets given back, etc.
Right.
In my view.
Thanks very much for calling there. Morning, caller, you're live on E. Thanks, live on air even. Thanks for calling. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's the viewpoint, please?
Hey, hello, Giles.
Felix.
Hi. I want to just refer to Jimmy there. I think that anti-Semitism, the worst forms of Jew hatred, is not a real factor in this world that we're living in. And I cannot understand how it can be excluded at all by any... In any situation, what it raises is an understanding. The deeper, the better. This is where Alf comes in. He always says, "Don't talk about history," but then he doesn't put forward any solution for anything. He's always putting down an understanding of history.
Right.
But if you talk about anti-Semitism, about Jew hatred, which has grown enormously on the left, in the left, on the left, on the fake left, because remember that Leon Trotsky was supportive of the Jewish people, right to a homeland. So he was the ultimate left person. But the left have broken completely from socialist traditions.
Right.
Of the present, and we now have a terrible situation of anti-Semitism in the world, which is coming now from both the right and the left. The right, examine Liz Truss and her latest videos, you know, her latest positions being taken towards Israel, and the terrible dramatic expositions being put forward by Hamas of a picture of Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, dripping blood from his mouth over the coffins, you know, that were being presented by the Red Cross. Anti-Semitism is anti-Jew hatred. If you don't like anti-Semitism, Jew hatred is such a massive force in the world today, and Jews have got a right now. Jewish people have got a right now to be terribly, terribly afraid of what's happening in the world, regardless of Ukraine or anything else. There is a growth of anti-Semitism that is so colossal. And Jamie's references there to AIPAC and the Israel lobby is just out of that drawer of saying that it's all a Jewish conspiracy. Thanks
for your call in there. Go breaking the Mac with the last, it'll be the last 15 minutes of this morning's Viewpoint.
Talk Radio Europe. Viewpoint. On Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
Right, buckle up into the last 15 minutes of Viewpoint. Joined in the studio by Jamie Hamilton and Timothy Stafford. If you want to get your viewpoints across on this or anything else that's crossing your radar.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
To the WhatsApps we go, because that's the way all the action is, you know. Right then, Steve Bannon is a smart boy. Makes nothing that Jamie says null and void. I think he's lost his mind.
This one in says, peacekeeping forces in Ukraine might be a sure way of keeping the war going. Keep them out. Yeah, question panel. When does, so you're a peacekeeper. People like to say, oh, we'll have a peacekeeping force until somebody lobs a big lump of metal in your general direction and then you become a soldier. Meanwhile, Putin, as does Trump, does it's the minerals. Putin does as Trump does. It's the minerals. The far right doesn't want Palestinians. We're going to keep away from Palestine, but anyway, to say have the same rights as white people did to leave their shattered cities and seek a better life overseas, because the far right doesn't want Palestinian asylum seekers because they're not sure the same colour as we are and they're not the same religion. Thank you for Kevin from Minilva, the People's Republic of Minilva. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. It's John in Buena Vista. Hi.
Good morning, Johnny. How you doing?
Great show. Enjoying the weather. Beautiful day. On the Costa del Sol, of course.
Cool.
You mentioned Doge earlier on. I'm a great fan of Doge. I think it's about time that government departments were held to account. Accountability,
right.
Transparency. What's been annoying me on the media and, of course, the Democratic Party, who are in bits over the whole bloody thing, is the fact that they're sort of bombasting the fact that it's 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds that are part of Trump's team that are uncovering all this fraud. I mean, let's just remember that they're quite happy to send 19 and 20-year-olds into war to die for the country. And also, 19, 20-year-olds and far younger kids are probably a lot better at computers than the likes of me and you. So I don't really like the fact that they are sort of belittled in such a way by performing a very good job, in my opinion. That's what I got
to
say.
Okay, thank you for the call in there. Good to have you enjoying the weather on the Costa del Sol. 952-78-4000 is the phone number.
Yes, and one mustn't forget that if one is carrying out sort of disreputable or possibly illegal actions in the way of these departments moving money around or streaming them into the pockets of the political sympathiser, then they're going to protect themselves with various passwords and difficulties, which requires these youthful hackers.
Youthful hackers?
Yes, to get in there and break it all down.
952-784,000. Morning, caller, live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Giles back. It's Swansea Jack.
Hello, Swansea. Give me a bug.
It's Swansea Jack. It's not easy to get in touch with you. I haven't been in very long, but I've just been listening to the Little Englanders. They're on form again, I see. Usually on form every week. Anyway, just to say, if you say anything against Israel, right, we've got Jill in Calpe, who lives not far from me, Jill, and Felix, you know, these are one-trick ponies, Giles.
They speak very highly of you, Swansea.
Pardon? Well, I know I'm the same, Giles, I know I'm the same. But the thing is, these are one-trick ponies. And the thing is, if you say anything against Israel, right, you're anti-Semitic. But there's always been anti-Semitism throughout history. I didn't say it's right, Giles. What I'm saying, if you listen to what I'm saying,
sorry,
Giles,
Swansea,
is...
Yeah, go on.
No, it's all right, Giles. Pop a thing down back. Hi, the sun. Hi, the sun. Language of heaven. Indeed. I don't have voice. But the thing is, Giles, it's like this. If you say anything to Jill or Felix, you know, they... because they're one-trick ponies.
They're one-trick ponies,
and all they talk about is the same thing, regurgitating the same thing. Jill is a Mr. Know-it-all. He knows everything, so he's a Mr. Know-it-all.
You know that thing we're talking about, don't poke the Russian bear, Ukraine was poking?
I know, but Stevie Wonder wrote a song, Mr. Know-it-all, you see, all those years ago. And this is it, Giles. Anyway, I've had my say now. I don't want to get into... but if you say anything against Israel, you're anti-Semitic. So now I'm anti-Semitic as well, because I've said something against Israel.
You see,
Israel.
In the words of Stevie Wonder, you should have said, I just called to say I love you, but there you go.
I just called to
say... Bye, Swansea. Okay, 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio... You see, panel here at Viewpoint. It's a bit like Gladiator, the first version, when, you know, when Russell Crowe says, "I don't know what's going to come through those doors, but whatever it is, we stand a better chance of surviving if we all stick together." Sometimes when you open up the phone lines, if you want to get, we're into the last 8 minutes or so. It's absolutely flown by. These are the numbers
to contact TRE. Please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
In the WhatsApps, Donita wants us to believe that the USAID is bankrupting America, when in reality it's less than 1% of the federal budget. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? We need to get the webcam. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
It's Gil from Calgary.
Hi, Gil. Sorry yes, for poking cool. in pokes there, by the way. I don't think you're a one-trick pony.
I have to answer.
The phone's going off again. This will be Felix on the other line, I bet. Go on.
Yes. Not everybody who criticizes Israel is anti-Semitic. Actually, even in Israel itself, a lot of the press criticizes the government all the time. Yeah, and you have criticism of all kinds. Now, to the caller before, there is an actual definition of anti-Semitism, okay, an official definition. It's called the IHRA, the International Holocaust Remembrance Association, something like that, from 2016. Now, this definition is accepted by 31 countries, and I think it's actually law in 8 different countries, okay? And that definition has 11 paragraphs in it, and it says what is considered anti-Semitism, what is not considered anti-Semitism. It makes things very, very clear
right.
in that way. Now, if I had to, in my opinion, I would add, you know, a few things.
Yeah, of course. I've got some more calls incoming, Gil, but okay. Thank you for your call in there. 952-785. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Charles. Peter.
Ah, Peter, how are you?
I'm very well. Cool. Those happy pills are half what's put on them, aren't they? Yeah. You've not reached the point of diminishing returns. You're far away from that. So whilst you like that, I won't pull my punches, not that I ever have. It amazes me, all this talk we've just had about Trump, Ukraine, wars, and like I said last week, the history doesn't mean anything. Trump has let the elephant out of the room, or spoke about the elephant in the room, and it's not even been mentioned. I think briefly you just might have mentioned it in one text. It's the minerals. As I've been saying from day one, it's the value of that land is what the war is all about. And what is going to happen is exactly what Trump and Putin want to happen. And gee, the three big dogs. And I would throw Israel in there as well. But just because they're, you know, when you look at the five New York families, when they sit down at a table, for the first time in an awful long time, and probably my lifetime, the three most powerful men on the planet have got there on merit. People keep trashing Trump. His father was in the construction industry in New York during the time of the mafia, building buildings, which you have to deal with the mafia. Trump rose up from there, right? That man is a very powerful man. He does not pull his punches, and he is obviously very, very powerful. And then you look at the people around him, and he's got there purely on his merit, as is Putin, as is Xi. And like I said, Israel, powerful, but small and outnumbered. So they'll just peg along with America, and America quite happy to have them on their side. What will happen is what those two want to happen, possibly three. That's all we're going to get. But what he's mentioned the other day, when he said about the minerals, still nobody's picking up on it. But what a genius move if he can bring peace, and we've all agreed, or most of us tend to agree, and that great call last week, and he's been on again today and give us a vivid, vivid picture of what goes on there. And then you get some person emails or contacts you and says, Peter gets his news off of the Facebook. I can't answer that. That's their perception.
Right.
They don't have a perspective, right? So I don't know why you read those out. But what that person was doing was poo-pooing what the person behind me confirmed about the corruption, and he's just done it again, in Ukraine. Now, what Trump's genius move is if he pulls this off, he's going to not have to fight Putin for those minerals. He's not going to have to do... What they're agreeing is there's enough for both of us. Now, I've had a security business. I've had doors. I've had hundreds of doormen work for me. You do not go and price a door that has already got someone on there unless you expect a war. Then you step back, and then certain commodities are moved through those entities, and you can control that, but everybody has their own bit. And as soon as someone steps on your toes, you have to be prepared to stand up for yourself. So, right, now, what we've got is these men realise that, and they're going to do exactly what needs to be done without killing each other. We all need the lithium. We all need our mobile phones. We need our car batteries. We need our computers. So this is where we are. And thank God we got these guys that realise that. They don't want to have a fight. The consequences are terrible. But there's enough for everybody.
Okay. Peter.
Do you agree?
No, I haven't said anything. I'm just, you see, my thing, as I said before, as the bleeding heart liberal here, is the fact that, you know, I'm saying, well, am I wrong, Peter? You know, it's all about negotiation. My ideas of diplomacy, of independent states and sovereignty, it's all balderdash. I was going to say something else then for a minute. And actually, you need hard-nosed operators like yourself doing when you're doing doors work in the UK. And all my pretentiousness and flippery are just making, and then when it comes down to it, it's a negotiation. It's always been like that.
Look, we've had this new world order, this globalization, and they've all been robbing Peter, pay Paul. I've said for years that the economy's broken. Now it looks like America's a Ponzi scheme. We don't know if the gold's there. I could go on and on and on.
Yeah.
But they sold out to the big corporations. Now the big dogs are stepping up. They don't need the money. They got the power. They know how it works. And if they can continue to do what it looks like they're going to do, we're going to have peace. Peace through power. Don't step on my toes. I won't step on your toes. There's enough for everybody. I'm going to sell a little bit to this guy. I'm going to give that little bit to guy. But like I said, if Trump can get peace, get Ukraine to pay back that money and get his hands on those minerals without firing a bullet, then, well, you know, that's the greatest president
that
ever
was. That's the prize. That's the Nobel Prize for him. I'm going to just hurry on, Peter, because I've only got a minute left, but thank you for your call in. 952-784-4000 panel. We are almost out of time. I just want to have a quick look at the poll of polls. Hang on a second. We don't need them at the consequence of death. A little less consumerism. Here we go. The poll of polls today. I was asking the question, with the US voting with Russia and the UN last night, do you think US... European relations are at their final point. Well, the closing arguments, my learned friends, are as follows. 91% say yes, 3% say no, and 6% don't know. Almost out of time. It's been my pleasure and my privilege. My thanks to my guests on today. Any parting thoughts, Tim? I'll hit you. Go.
Yes, I think it's very kind of you to bring in a DEI representative in the shape of me, and people don't know because they can't see me on the radio, but I am actually a French lesbian, and I had to be included in this particular show.
Jamie!
Can I just confirm your pronouns?
We.
Sacre bleu. Final point. It's all a uni party. Those who support Trump, great, but keep an eye on them because people like Peter Thiel or Palantir are genuinely evil.
This show will be repeated at 7 o'clock. Thanks for the viewpoint. Stephen Ritson is warming up in the corner. He's up next.
The views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels, and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.